Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Okay, we're going to take another look at traffic in Dublin after recent stories looked at congestion concerns and the sense that urban cities around Ireland are becoming increasingly private car unfriendly. Well, we're joined now by Dublin City Council Executive Manager for Traffic, Brendan O'Brien. Brendan, good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Thanks
you'll forgive my titling you Traffic Czar earlier on as shorthand for Executive Council Executive Manager for Traffic. But the current transport plan runs through to about 2028. So, I mean, for people who, you know, navigate city traffic, whether on public transport or cars, do you want to outline maybe what you see as the successes you've seen in the past couple of years?
Yeah, so you're quite right. The city centre transport plan runs to 2028. A lot of the projects within it run further, you know. So it's kind of setting out a vision for the city centre. So I suppose in essence, the vision of the city centre is to reduce traffic levels in the city centre, and that's based on a number of reasons. It's to provide more space for public transport, more space for cycling, walking, but also it's cognizant of the fact that, you know, we are hopefully starting a whole series of construction on bus connects corridors, DART Plus expansion, the Metrolink, etc. So, you know, within the city, we need to, first of all, make sure that people can move around. We need to, as I say, prioritise public transport, and we need to make sure that these big projects get built without causing too much problems in the city. And then fundamentally, once those projects are built and we start to see that increase in public transport capacity into the city, that we actually have the city that's able to receive that amount of people getting off buses, getting off DARTs, getting off a metro.
You know, cross-town traffic, as we heard musically a minute ago, is something you want to cut down on. People going south, north, north-south through the city centre, you would prefer them to take the orbital M50, really, and not be going through residential areas. Do you think that's possible at the moment with the gridlock that's seen frequently on the M50, often starting in the middle of the afternoon and going on till about 7 o'clock?
Yeah, so I suppose what we have to look at is what we're trying to do. So as I say, within the city centre in particular, we're trying to move to that lower traffic environment. And that's, as I say, for a number of reasons. Obviously, if we can prioritise public transport, if we can make public transport faster, more reliable, which, you know, reducing car, you know, car use, reducing traffic that's delaying buses, that's a key element of it. If we can do that, we can make the public transport more attractive. We can encourage more people to get on public transport. We can get more people walking and cycling. You know, that's really where we need to be at.
In terms how of how much of, control, you know, sorry, yeah, go on. And
I was going to say, in terms of, you know, whether people use the M50 or drive through the city, what we're kind of saying is, look, you know, we know that the M50 has problems. You know, if you think about it, the M50 was expanded from 4 lanes to 8 lanes, you know, in 2010, 2011. We're now seeing that number of lanes is congested. But having said that,
six lanes, I think, isn't it?
No, you've got three in either direction plus an auxiliary lane between each of the interchanges. So it's really been doubled in capacity. Okay. So if you look at the West Link, for example, you know, prior to the upgrade, there was about 85 to peaking maybe at 90,000 cars going through that a day. It's now at 160, I think it's 165,000, you know.
You are in control of the roads engineering, so you can put in cycle paths and you can designate bus lanes and you can do that kind of stuff, but you're not in control of the public transport capacity or entirely in control of the public transport routes. So how do you strike the balance between hoping to nudge people towards public transport and then making sure that public transport, which you're not in the control of the capacity of, can meet those needs?
Yeah, so you mean, you're quite right. Like, we're not in charge of public transport. However, having said that, all the, you know, the public transport operates in our roads. You know, so the bus service, so ourselves, the NTA, Dublin Bus, Go Ahead, we work very, very closely together. Same with TI, with Transdev, with Lewis, and Irish Rail. You know, it's not a question that, you know, we're not in control of it. It's a question that we're all trying to get to a common goal around the actual public transport. So, for example, you know, the rollout of Bus Connect's network redesign, you know, which puts buses in places that they've never been. So introducing orbital routes around the city, really massive take up of those. But obviously on those routes, you know, there isn't bus lanes, and in some places there isn't the capacity to bus lanes. So obviously those buses are being slowed up by traffic congestion. So these are the kind of things that we need to start to look at from a roads point of view.
We have a texter saying that they're suggesting enforcement of bus lanes. They say there's abuses on that everywhere. Is that something you have any influence over, either in terms of the use of cameras or in terms of liaison with An Garda Síochána?
Yeah, I mean, we do liaise with the An Garda Síochána regarding that. And obviously the guards can't be on every bus lane at any one time. But during Operation Open City that we're in at the moment, there will be increased enforcement at the moment on those various different bus measures. But ultimately, what we want to get to, and we're working with the NTA and the other agency, really is to get to automatic bus lane enforcement. So, you know, people driving in the bus lane can be fined. And that is really because if we keep the bus lanes free, we do move people faster, and we move far more people faster on board a bus. So if we think about the city, we think about people coming into the city, you know, the more people we have in public transport, the less people are driving, the more it's easier to get around. There's times when people have to drive or don't have a choice.
And just in terms of the engineering, I mean, is there an engineering effort to effectively make it as hard as possible to bring cars into the city centre? You know, as traffic volume, private car traffic volumes decline, or you're trying to divert them out, increase in cycle lanes, and that effectively is engineering cars out of the city centre, and perhaps resulting on the lanes that private cars can access in slower traffic, even amongst the fewer numbers of private cars, to act as a disincentive.
So, I mean, if you reverse your kind of question to me, you know, what are we engineering? So you look at Lewis Cross City, you know, which comes straight through the heart of the city, takes, you know, Dawson Street used to be three lanes of traffic. It's now, you know, public transport only, mainly, you know, Lower Grafton Street used to have two lanes of traffic, a taxi rank, all these kind of things. We didn't engineer it so that private cars couldn't use those. What we engineered in those areas was a really first-class public transport system to enable people to make use of public transport and to come to a situation where public transport is your first choice, not as so often it seems, the choice when there isn't any other one.
Okay, and what's your feedback been like from city centre businesses, particularly retailers, where they may fear that people who want to come in and buy, you know, simply larger items or larger quantities of goods may feel the need of their private car and may opt for out-of-town shopping centres instead of coming into the city centre and maybe spending a few quid in a cafe while they're in there?
Yeah, and that was a fear that was expressed to us before the recent changes, particularly in the North and South Quays. But it's not something that we're hearing from them at the moment. And we have a working forum with them chaired by our Lord Mayor, which meets a couple of times a year. So we're very clued into what they're saying to us. I suppose the other thing we should say is that when we made changes such as North and South Quays, one of the key aspects that we tried to put into that was to make sure that people could still deliver, people could still get to car parks and so on. And, you know, for example, the Irish Car Park Association wrote to us a while ago saying, you know, they were wrong to oppose the plan. In actual fact, it made little or no difference to their car parks.
On the subject of the North Quays, you know, a lot of commuters come into, say, Houston Station, whether, you know, they're travelling into the city centre or maybe further out to, say, UCD. The North Quays is one of the biggest pinch points, and just have full disclosure, having done it myself, there have been occasions I found it quicker to walk to Leeson Street corner from Houston Station than sitting on a bus and going that way by bus. That's not obviously available to everybody. So, and the main traffic on the North Quays is buses and taxis. So what can be done about that?
Well, I think what you're looking at is that, you know, there is considerable amounts of bus priority along the quays, you know, in both directions, really, which, you know, really show that the bus journey times between Euston and, you know, further than the quays have considerably improved. Now, what you're also looking at, you're quite right, you know, you're looking at taxis being there as well, because, you know, for bus lanes, taxis are allowed to use them. But, you know, the changes that have been made have had a really beneficial impact on journey times all along the quays there. So if you contrast the situation, if we had left it with no bus lanes there and just, you know, traffic lanes there, the actual difference is huge. Okay. So as we work through these, we are trying to identify those pinch points. You know, as I say, we work really, really closely with Dublin Bus, and, you know, we get the information in real time of the location of each and every bus in the city, which allows us to work out where the pinch points are.
Would you accept that the public transport system is not at a point yet that is making it sufficiently attractive for people to use as an alternative, and, you know, the roads engineering that you're doing at the moment is almost anticipating a better public transport system than reflecting what we have at the moment?
Well, if you look at it, you know, coming into the city at the moment, in the morning peak, for example, you know, 58% of people are using public transport to get in, 25% are using cars. So public transport has massively, taken up capacity and provided capacity into the city. Should there be more capacity? Should there be more lines? Should there be more, much more public transport? We completely agree with that. And I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, the problem when the Green Line was off, you know, and for the day and a half with the electrical failure, one of the things it showed was that what we should have had was parallel tram lines, you know, that people could have taken those people.
Okay, well, we are going to have to leave it there. Sorry to cut across you, but Dublin City Council Executive Manager for Traffic, Brendan O'Brien, thanks for joining us this evening. We hope we'll have you back at some other time to cover some of those other issues you were raising.